lesson, we stopped at Jeremiah 50 and 6, about Jesus being our rescuer. If we go on and look inside of our bulletin there on Jeremiah chapter number 50 and verse number 6, it says, "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place." Now, when I read that scripture, that particular passage there, my mind automatically go over to Psalms or Isaiah chapter number 53. If we go over to Isaiah 53 really quick. And look at verse number 6. And a companion scripture to that, Romans repeats the same thing. So someone get Isaiah 53 and 6, and then someone go over to Romans chapter number 3, and starting at verse number 11 and 12.
53 and 6 of Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray.
Yes.
And we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all.
So the Lord, if you look in Isaiah and you compare it with Jeremiah says the sheep have gone astray, or the people are like lost sheep, and the shepherds, or those that they have over them, leading them and guiding them, have caused them to kind of go astray like that. And if you looked at Isaiah said what now?
It says, "All we like sheep.
All we are just like sheep that have gone astray. That's right. See, that's the problem. You know, we have it in our minds to do things the way we want to do them. And when it comes down to the scripture, it is not a negotiation. Jesus doesn't negotiate with us. Either you do what he tells you to do, or you're just going to be lost. He said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do what I tell you to do. If you don't, you and I will be lost." And we have to get out of that mind frame to say, "Well, I want to do it my way." And this is what Isaiah is saying. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's right. So we have to understand that whenever we have a mind to want to be rescued by Jesus, we have to see the error of doing things our way. We have to see the error of doing things our way. Who has the Roman scripture? Chapter number 3.
3:7.
Yes.
"There is none that understandeth, and there is none that seeketh after."
Yes.
"They are all gone out of the way."
See that? All of us. Nobody's exempt. When we came here, with the nature of Adam. And Adam had a mind to do things the way he wanted to do them. You notice Jesus did not negotiate with Adam. He told Adam, "Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day that you eat thereof, thou shalt do what?" There was no negotiation. You had to do specifically what Jesus told you to do, or else you suffered the consequences. Okay? Now, we inherited that tendency. We took on that same attitude, that same behavior trait. We inherited from Adam. We have a mind to do what we want to do, you know, and through life, I don't care how, as you get older, it just gets worse. It just gets worse. One thing that they liken a lot of times when people get up in age and their mind starts to mess with them, they say, "Oh, they're just stubborn." Well, they didn't just become stubborn. We've all been that way. From childhood, we were stubborn. You know, your parents didn't tell you to do something, and you got it in. I can see sometimes when children, and the parents tell them to come somewhere, and the children just stand there. And then the parents say, "Didn't I tell you to get over here?" And they stand there and look at them. And then when they go and grab their arm, the children don't move their legs, and you see the parents dragging them down the street. You say, what in the world? Why that parent dragging that child like that down the street? That child is asserting its stubborn will. The child is saying, I don't care what you say. It's not what I want to do. Where did that child get that attitude from? He got it from Adam. We're born with that attitude to do things the way that we want to do it. And that's what the writer is saying. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one of us to what? Our own way. And Romans is saying what? Read that again. There's none that understands. That's right. That's right. We are all gone out of the way. Right? In other words, we've gotten off the right path, saints. We've turned away from the good shepherd and create our own shepherds. We create our own leaders to lead us, to guide us, to give us advice, to correct us. And a lot of it is not Jesus. It's not Jesus. We tend to surround ourselves around people that help us to do what we want to do. People want to say, well, how are all these churches all in the land? And some churches got this amount and some churches got that amount. But you go to the leader. You go to the leader and you'll find that people tend to group around people that are doing what they want, that shares their ideas, that share the goals and the focuses that they have. But when it comes down to Jesus, people don't want to do what Jesus tells them to do. Just as plain and simple as that. They have a way that they want to do it. And when Jesus tells them that this is my way, this is the righteous way, this is the holy way, this is the sanctified way, people just turn their back to it. Say, I don't want nothing to do with Jesus. I don't want nothing to do with your way of doing things, Jesus. I want to do it my way. Right? Come on, that's true. Says all of us have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way, right? Someone go over to Proverbs chapter number 14. We'll start in that verse number 10. No, starting at 14 and 10. Proverbs 14 and 10.
The heart knoweth his own bitterness.
Yes. What does the heart know?
His own
bitterness, right? Come on. You know what's inside of you. You know when you're feeling off, right? You know when something is brewing in you that's not like Jesus. And the Lord will let you see how you feeling ain't like me. The way you thinking is not in agreement with me. But you ignore Jesus. You tell Jesus, Jesus, but I have a right to feel this way. I have a right to think this way. You didn't see what this person or that person did and said to me. And the Lord is saying, my way is the right way. My way of doing things is the right way. And you have to understand, you have to resist that thing that is inside of you to be contrary to Jesus, to be contrary to righteousness, to be contrary to doing things the right way. And the proverb letter says that the heart, right? What does it say there? The heart knoweth his own bitterness. Huh? That's what the devil don't want you to know is you. That devil don't want you to know you. That devil don't want you to be honest with yourself and call yourself out. Huh? The devil wants you to justify your wrong. You remember with Judas? Judas justified his wrong. He said, I have a right to do this. Right? Peter justified his wrong. Peter said, I have a right to do this. Come on. And we're going to get down a little bit further and see what will happen to us when we start to do things the way we want to do it. Our way is going to lead us somewhere, right? Come on, saints. Our way is going to lead us somewhere. And if we don't want to get into the trouble of our own heart, we better be honest with ourselves and stop pointing the finger at everyone else and learn you. Huh? Learn you. Learn what come forth from your own heart, right? Come on, what does that 10 say? The heart knoweth his own bitterness. Uh-huh. That's right, with his joy. Keep going.
The house of the wicked shall be overthrown.
What's going to happen to the wicked's house? It's going to be overthrown, right?
But the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish.
See, there's only two ways, saints. Either you're going to be wicked or you're going to do things the right way. The wicked person is going to be overthrown. Mm-hmm. Overthrown with what? Overthrown with his own wickedness, his own devices, his own thoughts. And some will never be enough. I don't care how much you give the wicked, it will never be enough. Huh? The wicked will never be satisfied. One writer told you, he that loveth silver will never be satisfied with it, nor he that loveth the increase. Why? Because of that emptiness, that void, that bottomless pit. Huh? It will never be enough. I don't care how much you give, it will never be enough. Huh? Come on, you could spend thousands and thousands of dollars trying to please flesh, and it will never be enough. The thing you spend thousands and thousands of dollars will be hanging up collecting dust. Huh? And you'll be saying to yourself, why did you put it over there? Because it's not what I want right now. Huh? We've got that kind of mentality. I don't care what come our way, we're never happy. We're never satisfied. And we need to learn that it is an issue in ourselves. It has nothing to do with anybody else. The issue is within you, right? The issue is within you. And you're going to end up destroying yourself. Huh? Your own wickedness is going to overthrow you. Huh? Oh, yeah. Your own wickedness is going to overthrow you. We don't learn anything else about that police officer that got killed and them young men that killed him. These folk walking around in the earth thinking that these people are their friends. Huh? And what kind of friend would do you like that? My wife and I were looking at the video clip. What kind of friend, after you have been injured, would think so little of you to take your injured body and drag it? I mean, they dragged him out the truck and threw him down right on the ground and said, you deal with him. Huh? You deal with him, and we're going on so we can stay free. Huh? See, the wicked going to be overthrown. Huh? See, all that devilment, you think about what were their brains thinking before the police got there. They thought that they were going to be able to get away with doing devilment. But little did they know that there was someone there that had a rule that they had to go by. I'm sure if the police officers would have known that they were going to get shot and killed, they would have ignored them people. They would have ignored them breaking that glass and would have said, I'm just going to go on in the inside and let them steal that car. But they were just trying to do their job, to stand for what is the right way to do a thing. If it don't belong to you, don't touch it, right? That's all they were standing for, was righteousness. And when you looked at it, they got killed for doing something that was right. Huh? But look at the wicked person that shot him. Look at the wicked person that killed him. Look at his buddies. Look at his friends. When wickedness overthrows, when that wicked tendency overthrows that house, it brings that house ruin. Huh? And it helps you to see a reality of your life. What is the reality of your life? The wicked are like the troubled sea. Huh? Whose waters cast up nothing but mine dirt. There is no peace. Huh? There's no peace, saith my God, to who? See, the issue is in your mind. The issue is in your brain. It is in your soul. And the only one that can rescue you from you is Jesus, right? Only one that can rescue you from you is the Lord Jesus. But you have to see, I'm a sheep that have gone away from Jesus. I'm a sheep that has a mind to do it the way I want to do it. Huh? Come on. You get instruction all the time. I say, open up your mouth and call Jesus. And you got to resist that urge. You got to resist that mind and say, I don't care what he say. I've been praying a long time. I know how to get my prayers answered. Huh? But don't you forget who I am. I'm the watchman of your soul. Huh? Come on, y'all understand that? I'm not just up here reading from the scriptures every Sunday. I'm watching your soul. Even when you don't think I'm watching you, I'm watching your soul. I got my eyes on you. I got my mind on you. And you say, well, Discutter, you live over here and I live over there. But you don't understand who gave me the authority to do my job. Huh? Somebody else got their eyes on you. When my eyes can't see you, Jesus says, I see everything. My eyes go up and down the earth. My eyes don't shut. My eyes are on you day in and day out. And every now and then when I see something that is not like me, I drop a thought on my watchman's mind and I change his mind. I change his message. I change the course of his direction. And then he begins to say things that he didn't prepare for. He begins to say things that are not in his notes. That he didn't prepare for. He begins to narrow down and begins to hammer on little old me. He begins to expose me. It's like a big old spotlight and it's on me saying, I see you. I see you. I see what you're doing. I see what you're thinking. And I'm telling you, you're going to destroy yourself, right? You're going to end up destroying yourself. Why? Because you're dishonest with what's coming up out of your own heart. Come on, this is out of your heart. Your heart got the bitterness. Come on, your heart's got the bitterness. And the only one that can rescue you from that is Jesus. But you've got to be honest with yourself. You've got to acknowledge, Lord, I've got a bitterness down inside of me. I've got an attitude that's not like you. And it's done took hold of me. It's altering the way I talk. It's altering the way I see things. It's altering my feelings and my emotions. All that's in me is negativity. And I'm looking for the negativity. I don't want to be like that. Lord, rescue me from me, right? Is that true? Rescue me from me. If you don't, you're going to be overthrown. You're going to be overthrown by your wickedness. Come on, is that truth? You're going to be overthrown by your wickedness. Your wickedness is going to cause your demise. Who killed Judas? Judas can blame Satan all day long. But it was Judas. Come on, it was Judas. Judas invited that devil to come on the inside. Judas said, Judas opened up his mind to a demon, a devil, someone that did not love him. Here you got love being shown to you. Come on, love was shown through humility. Jesus took the time to wash Judas's feet. His old stinky, dirty toes. Jesus washed his feet. Somebody that had good sense said, if Jesus' shoes get unlatched, I'm not worthy to tie his shoes back up. I'm not worthy to touch his feet, right? But here you got someone Jesus chose to show love and compassion to. Jesus took the time to wash that brother's feet, and it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough.
Hey, thank you, Lord. Thank you,
see how you your own worst enemy?
Yes.
How did all that the Lord do to show you love?
Yeah,
it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. He was still looking for more. He wanted more. Yes, he did. That brother wanted more. And the Lord says, he looked at him and said, I see Satan has filled your heart. Come on, saints. We got to stop opening up that door to every strange wind in doctrine. Every demon that falls around us that just swifts by our nose. If it smells good and it's not like Jesus, it's a devil. And you need to say, oh, that's the devil. And I need to leave the devil alone. If it look good and it's not like Jesus, it's the devil. And I need to leave the devil alone. I need to shut my eyes. If it sound good, it got a nice beat, a nice tone, nice lyrics, but it's not like Jesus. I need to shut my ears. Why? Because it's a devil. Come on. There's no negotiation. There's no middle ground. Either you're doing what Jesus say do or you're not. Either you're in the path of righteousness or you're not. Come on, saints. Either you're on the Lord's side or you are not. And you need to say, Lord, help me. Rescue me from me. Why? Because if I don't, this wickedness is going to overthrow me. Come on, is that what the scripture says? Verse number 11 said, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown. Y'all understand that? That very thing, that bitterness, that hatred, that's brewing inside of you, it's not going to stop until it kills. Y'all understand that? It's not going to stop until it kills, until it brings an end. Come on. You know you've worked with people and tried to get them to change and try to do things the right way. And it's just something got a hold of their mind. And I don't care what you say. I don't care what you show them. It's like they're going to do what they want to do. And you have to just say within yourself, it's nothing more that I can do for you. I feel sorry for you. But I know what the end is going to bring. It's not going to give you what you're looking for. It's not going to result in what you want. You are going to die. You are going to lose. Y'all understand that? You're going to cut yourself off from life.
Yes, indeed.
You're going to be overthrown with your wickedness. Huh? The house of the wicked shall be overthrown. Keep reading. The tabernacle of the upright. Tabernacle of the... That's why I expect the Lord to bless the saints. I expect Jesus to bless you when you're doing what you're supposed to do. Huh? When you everything start falling down on you and you saying left and right, I don't understand what is going on. You better check your house. You better check your house. Something ain't adding up. Huh? Something is not like Jesus. And I need to bring that thing under captivity. Huh? Come on. I need to say no, no, no. Something is off. Why? Because I should be blessed. My house should be overflowing. Huh? Overflowing with joy and peace and love. Huh? Why? Because I testify that I have the Holy Ghost. When you say you have the Holy Ghost, you have Jesus. And your house should be overflowing with joy, peace, and righteousness and love. That should be flowing all through your house. And when you don't feel it, something is wrong. Something is wrong. Somewhere you've gotten off that beaten path and you're trying to do things your way. Huh? Come on, your way seem right. Come on, read the next verse.
It says, there's a way which seems right.
That your way seems right. Do y'all understand that? It seems right. Your way of doing stuff seems right. Huh? But look at the end. Look at the end. If it was right, you should be feeling good all the way to the end, right? But when you get down to your end and you find yourself miserable, you find yourself empty, you find yourself lonely, you find yourself depressed, you got to say something is wrong. I got to go back and change my way. I got to change the way I'm doing this thing. Why? Because it's not giving me what I'm looking for, right? The way seemed right. Huh? It seemed right. But what happens? The end. The end thereof. Everybody see that? The end thereof are the ways of what? And y'all, now we don't want that. Because we already know only one come to steal, kill, and destroy. That means the devil got a way of doing stuff too. And his way is that broad way. That broad way that leads to destruction. There's a whole lot of company on that way. Whole lot of people are on that way. And that's why I write it untold you, hell is enlarging herself. She's opening up her mouth without measure. Who's going down there, Elder Scudder? The mean man. The mighty man, right? All of them are going to be humbled. Come on. All of them are going to be humbled. They're going to be made low. Lord going to take the steam out of them. Lord going to remove the strength from out of them. Lord is going to make them cry in a place that does not wipe away tears. Do y'all realize that hell is a place where you cry and your tears do not get wiped away? Hell is a place where you feel pain and there is no medicine. There is nobody to remedy your pain. You just got to deal with it. Deal with it for how long? Day and night. Forever and ever. Something inside of you that should say, Jesus, I don't want to go to hell. Rescue me from it, right? Rescue me from that way that's going to lead to my destruction. Huh? Come on. Read me a little bit more. Keep going. Heart is sorrowful. Yep.
That verse is heavy.
Yeah, come on. That let me know the devil be setting that sinner up. doing this his own way. What is he going to be doing in his own way? He's going to be laughing. But when he get finished tickling, when he get finished laughing, what is his laughter going to turn into? He's still got to deal with the sorrow. Come on, you don't want none of that. You don't want none of that. Why? One thing I've learned about the Holy Ghost is joy. Huh? Holy Ghost will have you laughing. Holy Ghost will have you giggling. Huh? And it ain't no nasty joke. Huh? All you do is just be thinking about Jesus. Huh? And you realize I can keep this laughter all the time. This laughter ain't dependent upon somebody telling me a story. It ain't dependent on somebody tickling my stomach or rubbing my feet. This laughter is the name of Jesus. This laughter's down in my belly. This laughter flows like water. It occupies my whole body. It flows like an endless river. Going up and down inside of me, right? Come on. You don't want that other kind of laughter. That other kind of laughter that turns into what? Sorrow. Oh, yeah. That other laughter turns into sorrow. And the end of that mirth is heaviness. See, Jesus will deliver you. Jesus will deliver you from sorrow. He will deliver you from heaviness. But you got to want to be rescued. You got to say within yourself, I don't want to stay in this condition no more. I don't want to stay in this weight. This heavy burden. I'm not moving forward. You got to get sick of it. You're going to die in hell. If you don't get sick of the path that you on. Y'all understand? Folks don't like to hear that. But you're going to die in hell. If you don't get sick of the path that you're on. Come on. Your way seems right. But pay attention to the end. Your way got you laughing, but at the end of your laughing, you're still sorry. You're still sorry. It don't add up. Don't add up. You done had all that fun in the bar laughing, but at the end of it, you're still sorrowful. Still sad. Still pitiful. You still got that woe is me. Come on. Got all of your blessings. That myrrh represents some blessings. Something coming into you. Somebody giving you something. And what does it result in? Heaviness. Come on, y'all understand that? People are trying to make you happy by giving you. Yeah. I see your face down. I say, come on, go get a lollipop. But you get on that lollipop and get to working on it. And after you finish eating it, you just say, woe is me. My lollipop is gone. And then you go find more and more lollipops. Till you're rotting out your whole teeth. And you be wondering, why are my teeth rotting? You done ate up all them lollipops. But the lollipops made me happy. Lollipops kept a smile on my face. But they were only temporary. It's only temporary. You lay in that bed of sorrow. It's only temporary. It's not going to relieve the burden of sin. Once you get finished doing your due, you're still going to be heavy. Y'all understand that? You're still going to be heavy. You're still going to be full of sorrow. Come on, read me the next verse. Yeah. We don't want to be this way. We don't want to be this way. We don't want to be in our hearts and in our minds moving backwards. When Jesus done put us on a forward path. Don't y'all know when you coming into holiness, he put you in a forward path. You need to stop worrying about the stuff that went on in your afterlife. And say, the Lord has made something beautiful. He made me new. Come on. Y'all don't understand that. That's in 2 Corinthians. Come on over to 2 Corinthians. What is that 2 Corinthians word? Chapter number 5, I believe it is. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. I don't want to quote that thing wrong. 2 Corinthians 5 and start at verse number 14. Come on. I'm gonna close up my book because I'm going to end right here. The love of Christ does what? Come on, saints. You better be glad the love of Jesus got a hold of you. Come on, y'all understand that? You better be glad the love of Jesus got a hold of you. Come on, he keep you moving when even you don't feel like moving. It keeps you doing right when you don't even feel like doing right. And you be realizing, what is it? Something got a hold of me. And it's called the love of Jesus. This love is better than your mama and your daddy's love. It's better than your husband and your wife's love. This love is not temporary. This love means to be with you to the end. It'll carry you over into glory, right? That's why we say, let the Lord love you. Oh, his love is not conditional. His love is long-lasting, right? Greater love have no man than this. And a man lay down his life for you. That's why we tell you, when you come into holiness, realize Jesus loved you. He loved you way before you were even thought of. He was on Calvary showing you how much he loved you. He took the whip. He took the nail. He took the spit. He took the criticism. All to show you that he loved you. Did somebody come in here and tell you Jesus died on the cross for you? For who? Little old me? Yes, for you. He died to show you that he loves you. And it's like that love get embranded down in your heart. You go out there trying to fish, looking for other folk to love. Then you come up, you say, that ain't it. They don't love me right. Then you still feel Jesus. Jesus be right there saying, you ain't going to find nobody like me. You're not going to find nobody to do you like me. That Joe and that John and that Sally and that Sue, they only trying to get out of you what they can get out of you. And then once they get all they can get, they don't want nothing to do with you. You mean zero to them. Come on, is that true? That you mean zero to them. And you don't want that kind of love. You want some real love. Some genuine love. Some love that don't got no hypocrisy attached to it, right? Come on. Some love that is honest with you. See, Jesus' love is honest with you. It's honest with you. The love of Christ, it constrains us. Keep going. Come on. I know you done turned from it.
The love of Christ constrains.
Yes.
Because we thus judge.
Yeah,
If one died for all,
then we're
all dead.
Well, come on. Do y'all understand this? Do y'all realize that? You are dead. Say, I just got it, but I'm alive and moving, but your soul. Because of Adam, your soul is dead. Your soul ain't got no life in it. And life is more than you breathing. Life is more than that heart beating. Life is more than you being able to touch your skin. You need Jesus to be flowing inside of you. You need real love, real joy, real peace to be flowing up and down inside. You need Jesus to be in you and quicken you. That word quicken means like snatch. Come on. You need the love of Jesus to snatch. It's like a jerk. It's like you be like this and then that love just say, you need that love to jerk you. You need that love to be like them old shockers that hospital got. When your heart stopped beating, they charge it. Everybody stands back. That thing say, whoop. They say that heart ain't moving again. Turn it up a little bit more. Everybody stands back. They go, boom. And they say, oh, we got it. You need a little alarm on. You got a heartbeat. But when the Holy Ghost is working, can't nobody else help you. See, you need to have Jesus like that to realize can't nobody else help you but Jesus. This is a solo job. He's the only one that can do this, right? And everybody else needs to step back and let the Lord do his job. And when the Lord do it, he gonna shock you. He gonna hold you, whoo. And he gonna say, oh, what is this? And we gonna say, call him a little bit more. Call Jesus a little bit more. Why do I need to call him? Because life is coming on the inside of you. And you don't want nothing to stop life from moving, right? You don't want nothing to stop life from moving. You want him to keep on moving. So he quickens your whole body. Till he move over your whole body. Take control of your, not just your body, but your tongue. A member of your body you have no control over. See, that's your real evidence as to whether you got the Holy Ghost or not. It's what go on in this mouth of yours. One writer says you shouldn't be cussing nobody out and then 5 seconds later blessing the name of Jesus. These things ought not to be. Thou don't bring forth both sweet and bitter at the same time. It's either one or the other. This kind of wisdom is not from above, but it is of the earth. It's devilish. It's sensual, right? It's full of hypocrisy, right? But the wisdom that comes from above is first pure. Y'all understand that? It's clean, right? This ain't no dirty way. This ain't no cut corner way. This ain't the way for the shyster and the crook. Nah, he got to give up that. He got to say, no, Lord, I don't want to be a crook no more. I don't want to be a thief no more. I don't want to steal. I don't want to lie. I don't want to cheat. Lord, take all of that away from me. Why? Because I know you're going to judge me by righteousness. And can't nobody come up to the holy mountain unless they got clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. That's the one that's going to receive the blessing from Jesus, right? That's true. Love of Christ constrained us. And when one died, then that means all of us were dead. Keep going.
And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto them.
Y'all understand that? Come on, when you get saved, your life is not your own no more. You can't go walking around talking about what you want and what you got to do and I feel and I think. Your life is not your own. You have been bought with a price. The blood of Jesus is on you now. I can't do what I want. I can't wear what I want. I can't go where I want. See, the world has a law. The world has a rule. But the church has a law separate from the world. Church got rules that the world don't abide by.
Yes, indeed.
Y'all understand that?
Oh, yeah.
The way Jesus do stuff is different from the world.
Oh, it is. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, it is.
World say try it before you buy it. Huh? Well, you need to know what you're getting into before you get it. You better try to make sure it's a good fit. You be trying for the rest of your life. Because won't nobody be a good fit. And before you know it, you're going to get a label. Somebody going to label you. Say you done been with all these Johns and Joes. And that's the unfortunate part. The only ones used to get the labels is the females. But them men is just as dirty as them women. Come on. You done got a label attached to you. And it's not a label from man. You need to pay attention to how the Lord see you. Don't you realize the Lord see everybody you done been with? Remember that woman that came to the well? And the Lord called and said, the one you with right now. That means she was sinning while she was talking to Jesus, right? I know y'all don't like messages like that. She was sinning while she was talking to Jesus. And she wasn't no amateur sinner. She done had five of them. She done had five of them. She was trying on all them gloves to see which one was going to fit. And she was still unsatisfied. Why? Because when Jesus talked to her, he said, you drink from the water that I give you, you won't ever thirst again. She just kept on jumping from bed to bed and was still thirsty. She was still wanting. But Jesus said, you drink from the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again, right? Don't you want some Jesus? I want some Jesus. So the Lord can take away my thirsty. See, the only one that can take away your itching and your thirsty is Jesus, right? That's the truth. I know folk don't like to hear messages like this, but it's the truth. Man, you just don't understand what we go through as men. Jesus understands. He'll take away the itch and the thirst. He said, you'll never thirst again. Isn't that something? See, that's why folk don't want to receive the Holy Ghost, because they want to stay thirsty. But when you get the Holy Ghost, he take the thirst away from you. Folk be looking and say, how can you stay single all that time and you don't want no man? I ain't thirsty. Then someone come up to you and try to show you themselves. Hold on, can you take my jacket? Hold on 1 second. I need to see what time it is. And you don't be paying them no attention. You don't see. I go to the gym all the time. Oh, you need me to lift that up? Hold on 1 second. You be living there. You ain't paying them no lick of attention. Say, what's wrong with you? You don't see me? You don't see what I can do to you? Say, that ain't no inch to me. I ain't thirsty. You thirsty, but I ain't thirsty. What I need, you can't give me. Jesus has quenched my thirst. See, that's why you shouldn't be looking for nobody until Jesus quenched your thirst. Stay single until Jesus quenches your thirst. And then when he quenches your thirst, you'll find someone to help you. You don't want nobody that's just thirsty like you thirsty. Because no good can come from that. Y'all will be running around the whole neighborhood. And people be looking at you saying, I thought y'all was married. Man, she don't do for me. He don't do for me like that. Y'all both just thirsty. Your whole house is nasty. Got them running in and running out. And it's not like Jesus. It's not like Jesus. So you let the Lord quench your thirst. And then you say, Lord, if there's someone you want me to have, amen. But they won't be coming to you trying to satisfy your thirst. Because Jesus is the only one. Y'all understand that? See, a woman could be single and marry a man that is paraplegic. Meaning he can't do anything. But because she got Jesus and he got Jesus, they got a successful, happy marriage. And folks be looking at, well, what you mean? Y'all are happy. Y'all can't do this and do that. Well, do you think that that's all marriage is? Do you think that that's the sum of a marriage? Man, you need somebody to love and appreciate you. That paraplegic be there every time that woman brings him food. I thank you and I love you. I appreciate everything. Come give me some sugar. And that woman will be like, ooh, I thank him for my husband. Come on, do y'all understand that? That's true love, isn't it? That's true love. That's true love. And I see a whole lot of households that are craving. They have a desire for that to be in it. But they don't want no Jesus. You can't get that unless you have Jesus. Jesus is love, right? Jesus is love. See, the world don't teach you that. That's in this book. That's in this book. Jesus is love. And the love of Christ, it does what? Constrains us. Come on, keep me reading. Keep me going because I want to get down to it. I'm almost done. Yes. No man after the flesh.
No man after the flesh.
Yes.
Yet though we have known Christ after the flesh.
Yes.
Yet now, henceforth.
See, these were people that walked with Jesus. They said our relationship with him once was fleshly. Mm-hmm. It was dependent upon him physically being with us. Y'all know scripture, don't you? He said the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he's abiding with you, but he shall be what? In you. He said it's expedient that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the comforter will not come. You got me with you now. And long as you with me now, you ain't got to worry about fasting and all that other kind of stuff. And that's what they kept trying to tell his disciples. They said, your disciples ain't even fasting. He said, what they need to fast for? I'm right here with them. But there's going to be a day. There's going to be a day when they're going to be looking to fast, right? They're going to be craving for fasting, right? World is going to be so bad. You won't have enough days in the week to fast. I don't care all the fasting we do. It seems like that devil just get crazy and crazy. We're fasting and we're praying. Oh yeah, we in here crying out to Jesus. That's right. We're not the only ones. We got sister churches doing the same thing. I can't talk about no other place, but I can talk about our sister churches because I know our sister churches do the same thing we're doing. Huh? We may not be in here on Mondays, but some of the churches are praying on Monday. Y'all understand that? I think down in Friendship, they've been having weeks of prayer. And that means when we're at home on Thursdays and things of that nature, somebody somewhere is praying. We have noonday on just Thursday. Friendship got noonday Monday through Friday. Huh? So I'm trying to help you to understand somewhere somebody's crying out to Jesus. Yet the world is getting worse. Y'all understand that? The world is getting worse. It ain't getting better. It's getting worse. But why is it getting worse? Because people are rejecting the Comforter. We're telling them, you need the Holy Ghost. They come in here and they hear the message. Every message is the same. If y'all ain't got that by now, it's all going to be the same message. You come in next Sunday, you're going to hear the same thing. I might use some different scriptures, but it's going to come out the same way. You need Jesus. Oh, that was good, man. Say, you know, you got to find something else to talk about. No, I can't talk about nothing else. You need Jesus. Say, well, you going to come back next Sunday? Oh, no, I don't think so. I got something else to do. Well, you need Jesus, right? Well, but I'll be back next month. I pray you live to see next month. But you still need Jesus, right? Come on, you need Jesus. You need Jesus every day. Huh? That's why I thank the Lord. You blessed when you got a mind to say it. I need Jesus every single day. Huh? This ain't no Sunday thing. I need the Lord every day. Huh? Why? And not so much as the dealing with other people. It's because I got to deal with myself. I know that is within me. That is within my flesh. Is a no good thing, right? Meaning no good can come from it. It's never happy. It's never satisfied. If I ain't have no Jesus to fight against me.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I mean, it takes real Jesus to deal with real Stephen. Stephen is an ugly creature. You talking about the Hulk? Stephen is an ugly creature. Oh, yeah, I'm an ugly, ugly, mean, nasty, stinky creature. Huh? And when I'm left to myself, no good come from it. You might as well be honest with you. When I'm left to myself, no good come from it. Because this brain is always moving. This brain is always itching. And I need Jesus to get in there and say, Stephen, get yourself together. See, the Holy Ghost, it quickens. It says, when I get off my little thoughts, begin the Holy Ghost, say, huh, that ain't like Jesus. I say, yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. And you keep thinking like that, you're going to die. You're going to go to hell, right? I say, yes, Lord Jesus. I don't want to go to hell, Jesus. I'm not my own. I have been bought with a price, right? The blood is on me now. Blood is on me. Come on, read me a little bit more. I'm about to stop. So it's 1 o'clock. Yes. Yes. Wait, this is the key. You got to be where? In Christ. Romans says the same thing in 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in. See, that's the focus. You need to get in Jesus. Stop being satisfied being on the outside looking in. You're a window watcher. Stop being satisfied on the outside, looking in. Come on into the circle. That's right. Come on into the circle. It's fire in the circle. It's joy in the circle. That's why I don't be lingering around. You see the saints at the altar calling Jesus. Make room. Say, well, such and it ain't enough room, and I'm worried about COVID. No. Come on over to the fire. Just get on down there and cry out to Jesus. Even if we got to be on top of one another. Just get on in there and cry out to Jesus. Say, Lord, I'm here just as I am. And I need you to make me new, right? Any man beware in Christ. He's a what?
Old things are passed away.
That's right.
Behold,
all things. Is that the kind of salvation you want? That's the kind of Holy Ghost you want. I want the Lord to make everything about me what new. Isn't that true? Huh? I want the Lord to make everything. I want my attitude to be new. I want my emotions to be new. Right? I want to be able to wake up every day and see it's a new day. Huh? I don't want to be depressed about the day. Lord, wake you up, see another day. You want to wake up and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for keeping me during the night. Huh? Allow me to see a new day. You reach your arms up. Everybody reach your arms up. Everybody take your hands and reach your arms up. See, when it may hurt a little bit, but you thank the Lord. Say, Lord, I can reach my arms up. See, hospitals are full of people that can't do this. You need to say, Lord, I thank you for thinking new. I thank you for blessing me to be able to do something. I didn't used to appreciate this. But because I can do it, I thank you, Jesus. Y'all understand that? You got something to thank him for. And it don't take much, right? See how the Lord is working inside of you. Any man, beware, in Christ. He's a what? He's got a new attitude, a new thought process, right? I don't need the Lord to put a steak in front of me for me to say, oh, I'm having a good meal. I realize all of it go down into the same belly. One thing about it, when the belly get it, the taste is gone, right? The taste is gone. So that's how limited our brains are. We only be thinking about stuff that only happened for what? You don't even think about it. That's how limited our little brains are. We're so focused on things that only last for a moment. All the work is on when you eat your food. When y'all go home today, eat some food. Think about it. All the work from that food that you call yourself tasting is done without you even tasting it. All the work that's going down in your stomach and coming all down, all of that, you don't taste none of that. But you be so focused, so you're concentrating so hard on that little bit of time that you spend with that piece of bread and its experience in that mouth. Must taste so good. Swallow. You don't even got to taste no more. That's why we fat. Oh yeah, that's why we overweight. Because we keep trying to reach for that feeling. Amen. We keep trying to reach for that feeling that only lasts for a moment. They say USS, because you shouldn't call me fat. Y'all, you must have looked at me. I'm talking about myself. I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about me. I know what I'm working with. You need to know what you're working with, right? You need to know yourself. All right, I'm done. Trust y'all got something out the word.